Now we go on to look at the second pericope, the second picture that hangs there, if you will. It's a narrative again, and so it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's the call of the first four disciples. And going along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come, after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway, leaving their nets, they followed him. That's a vocation story. Now, I want to point out, because this is so beautiful and powerful, and we're going to see it over and over again, that's a vocation. God speaks, and you're different. But there are old stories like that, you know? For instance, Elijah calls Elisha this way. You see? This is the story. It's in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19. He has just met the Lord. He went to Horeb and he met the Lord, and he's complaining. And the Lord Adonai says to him, "Go back. And you are to anoint Jehu, son," and so forth, as a king, and so forth. Okay. So leaving that place, Horeb, he came on Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. See? Somebody at an occupation. You see? And he himself being with the 12th yoke. Elijah passed near to him and threw his cloak over him. You see? Which is sort of claiming some sort of possession. Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you," he said. This is so Semitic, this story. Elijah said, "Go on back. What have I done to you? I just put my cloak over you. I mean, like, you can take that any way you want." "No, no. You have to make the decision. You know, I'm the agent of God calling you, but you have got to answer." You see? Elisha turned away, took the pair of oxen, and slaughtered them. He used the plow for cooking the oxen and gave it to his men who ate. He then rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I'm quite sure the text says, and served him. But it's okay. Now, do you see the rhythm? A man is occupied at his profession. The call comes. He has to drop everything and follow. That's that. And here, when he says, "I'm going to go say goodbye to my father," here, Elijah says, evidently okay, I guess, because, or maybe not. He says, "Go back. What have I done to you? I mean, I just threw my cloak over you." And so he has a party right there. That's Matthew, remember? Matthew's called and he has a party. What a privilege. God called me. God wants my life. What a privilege. If I stay with him, I can have a beautiful, difficult, suffering, but intelligible life. I'll never be sitting in a bar saying, "What the heck am I doing with my life?" I'll never do that. I know what I'm doing with my life. Answering the Lord. And so you see, we have that vocation story of Elijah calling Elisha. There's another interesting one I just mentioned in Matthew, where Jesus sees Matthew the tax collector sitting there collecting his taxes, a toll booth, like, you know. Jesus says, "Come follow me." He drops everything and he has a party. And all his friends come. And who are all his friends? Tax collectors, crooks, that for prostitutes, kind of lower class people. And Jesus goes to the party. He goes to the party to rejoice with them. Because he loves them. And he wants them to know how much the Father was happy to come to their party. He wants to call them back to him. Well, the other guys are pretty scandalized. And so Jesus hears about it. So he goes over there and he says, now look, haven't you never learned the line from Hosea, I want mercy, not sacrifice. I want chesed. Chesed is, you see, enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. That's what I want, not sacrifice. So, you should be taking care of these brothers and sisters instead of looking down your nose at them. I want mercy. I want chesed, not sacrifice. Like that. The Son of Man, you see, the Son of Man is called those. The sick don't need a doctor, the healthy do. I mean, on the other way around. The healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. Now, our Lord will do this all the time. He leaves it open for them to come back with a question. So you're some kind of doctor? And then he could have quoted the text from Exodus, I am Adonai, your healer. He could have opened up the door for them. They didn't ask him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Their own hardness of heart. He said that. You know, he gave him a quote, and he's, you know, so you're some kind of doctor. Yes, I'm some kind of doctor. Ani Rofe, I'm the healer of Israel. That's what was said of me, I said of myself, back in the book of Exodus. But they didn't open up. You'll find that all the time. They're all upset about the, healing of this woman on the Shabbat, you know, in a synagogue. They're all upset. Come back on a weekday. Don't bother us, you know. Jesus says, look, don't you untie an ox or an ass on Shabbat and lead them to the water? And this woman's been bound by Satan, and I'm untying her so she's free to live. Isn't that all right on Shabbat? And they couldn't answer him. You see? So right away in these stories, we're going to have this whole notion of conflict, you see? Behind all the conflict is Satan. After our Lord has, defeated him, in the desert. You see, later on, there's all this, especially in Mark, oh, he's doing this by Beelzebul, he's doing this, you know. And Jesus says, when a strong man is guarding his household, his goods, and so forth, that he's okay, unless a stronger one comes along and binds him and takes all his goods. End of story. He could have said, you think you're the stronger man? I know I'm the stronger man. I've come to bind Satan and get him out of here and set God's people free. It's going to cost me the humiliation and pain and agony of the cross, but I am going to set God's people free. And they're not going to be under your power any longer. And that is one of the basic themes in the Gospel of Mark. So what we have here now, you see, is this vocation story. After we have the story about the preaching. And so we just heard it. Now listen to it again. And going along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, come here after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I'm going to change your whole life. If the Lord calls you, oh, go. go. He called me. Well, I heard him when I was 5, but I was trying to make excuses till I was 20. Then I turned myself in. And from that moment to this, I have had never a boring moment. I've suffered a lot, but I've also come to know Jesus. And I'm thrilled to death. And that's what I had to drop everything and go follow. Well, I'm not unique. There's maybe 2 million of us in the world. I don't know how many there are. People who have been called by God in all different walks of life. Priests, religious, lay people. To drop everything and just follow Him. Not care about yourself. Well, you have, you don't grow into that. You do grow into it. It doesn't happen right away. But this vocation story is meant to show us radicality of the call. It's going to cost everything, but you're going to get everything. Wouldn't it be nice to be a fisher of men, be bringing people into salvation? Think of it. So when you're dying, you're thinking, well, there's a lot of people talking to the Lord about me because I answered you, Lord, and did what let you do through me what you wanted to do to call them, save them, forgive them, whatever. And now they're all praying for me. So now he already has 4 of the basic 12 ready to go. And they were, some years ago, I was working on construction. And some mornings, I would go out with the boss of this little construction group, and we'd go to the lumber yard to get lumber for what we were going to do that day. We needed some lumber. We took the dump truck, we went over there, and we'd stop, because it was a great coffee shop there, to get a coffee and a bun, some kind of donut or something. Everybody did. It was the best coffee shop in town, I think. And so all these guys, construction workers, guys with small construction companies, all that, those were the guys in there. I looked at these guys and said, these are the apostles. These are the kind of guys, they're kind of tough, rough, but good-hearted men, I'm sure faithful to their wives, most of them, And I said, these are the apostles. These kind of straightforward guys who are willing to really love Jesus and follow Him. And I said, it was a great lesson for me. I got an image in my mind. These guys are busy. They're fixing their nets. They're getting ready to go, get them ready for the next night to go out. And they're busy. And Jesus comes along and says, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. That's a bigger job. And it says, and leaving their nets, they followed him. There he goes on a little ways. And now he sees James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. John turns out to be the mystic, the author of the 4th gospel, with all the confusion. It's coming down back to what it was before. And they were in the boat fixing their nets, and Zebedee with the hired men. So this was a small business. The Zebedee ran this business, and he had his 2 sons and some hired men, and they were all working. And Jesus said, you 2, come with me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. So they left everything. Isn't that beautiful? I promise you, Jesus still acts that way. I'm trying to think without taking any more time. I mean, people who were actresses and just quit. The woman who played the lead in Lilies of the Field, she was a nun in that movie. By golly, after the movie, she just quit her acting and went into the convent. Anyway, listen to the call, whatever it is in your own life, and we'll be back next week.